Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today in the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we are taking a look at issues 3 and 4 of Frank Miller's Dark Knight run. Let's go. Oh, yeah. I'm going to try to not cough on each individual listening to this podcast right now through your speakers, but it might happen. What's up, fellas?
Hello. Feels like it's been ages since I saw you last.
Yes, this is definitely not immediately after the last episode.
Pay no attention to later. Our shirts being the same. See, it's buttoned now.
Every episode we do this, where we do multiple recordings, we just take our shirts off.
So you know when it gets serious.
Yeah. Not even for Two Men After Dark.
No.
Two Men just talking about comics with the shirts off. Yeah. Getting sweaty. Is this weird yet?
Yeah.
We're covering Frank Miller's Batman run. I guess I should say he's done more than one. So the Dark Knight specifically. But we have stuff to talk about before we get there. Drew, what you been reading, yo? Did you save anything?
No, I read an article just a second ago looking for my trivia for this episode.
I thought ahead. Here's the tricky part, ladies and gents. we got to do a What You Been Reading Yo segment. And very often we record two episodes back to back.
And we forget to spread the wealth.
To save some of what we've been reading. But me, not today.
Hey, good for you.
I thought ahead. Actually, what happened was I forgot to mention some, so this is more just a lapse in the functioning of my brain than me actually thinking ahead.
Then can I say what I've been reading you first?
Yeah.
I guess I read this.
You have read that.
That's it.
I haven't yet.
This is what happens. Happy or sad? That was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Ready for more?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I did think of one thing.
Yeah.
I didn't mention last time. The issue 7 of Time Before Time, the one that comes after this. I bought that and I read it while standing in my... Oh my goodness.
There goes some airplane, somebody not airplane moded.
Let's see. I might be able to... Yeah, okay, I see it. I'm going to try to remember to... if you're listening to this and you're like, what are you guys reacting to? Then it's because I took it out in post before I sent it.
We got electrocuted.
So anyway, I read the seventh issue of Time After Time while I was standing. Like I started reading it while standing and just, it was so good. I never thought to sit down.
Wow.
And I commented that on Twitter and Declan Shalvey, the writer, responded. He was like, man, that's the sort of review you want to get.
Yeah.
So
comics Twitter has been hopping for the Two Man fans.
Anyway, so yeah, I guess I did read a bit.
I only have a couple to mention. Let's see. I can just talk. I remember what they were. I got notifications from the DC Infinite app that the new issue of Wonder Girl from the Future State had just come out, and I wanted to check that out. So I read that. I'm super intrigued. I don't know much of what's going on because I didn't read the Future State event. There was a Future State event, correct?
Mm-hmm. I started to read it. I read like the first few, and they were each like 50 pages per book. And I was like, I don't have time for this right now.
Were they good?
Yes, like the two that I read.
Do you have like any idea of like what the premise is, or do I just need to go read them?
We jumped forward in time.
Why?
I don't know.
Time travel's your hobby. I'm a fraud. Tell me.
I don't think it was actually time travel. It was more just like the story. The collective universe took a time jump.
Okay. Well, I read two Future State books. So I read Wonder Girl, right? It's Wonder Girl. What's her name?
Yes. I can't remember.
Flora.
Mara. Flores.
Yes. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I can figure it out at some point. Anyway, I read it. It was good. I want to know more. I also want to know how we got here. And then copy and paste that sentiment onto me reading Mr. Miracle, Source of Freedom, number one.
Gotcha.
Which is also a Future State book, in which Scott Free is no longer Mr. Miracle.
That's too bad.
But the story that they set up in issue one is definitely interesting. It makes me go, what happened to Scott Free? Oh, this person that's introduced at the end? That's cool that he's here. Wonder how this thing's going to happen. So excited to see that. the thing we've talked about of like the rabbit hole, I think a way to alleviate it is just start reading. You know, like there's a number one, jump on it and read it. Figure it, fill in the dots later. It's kind of like meeting somebody, right? You don't have to go immediately.
Tell me your entire life story.
Everything you know. Let's just pick up here, and then we fill it in as we go along.
I picked up the last time I went to the store. There were a couple ones, like Marvel recently came out with a Hulk one, Black Panther one.
Oh, is it the Donny Cates?
Yeah.
Hulk, did you get it?
Yeah, I grabbed
it.
Nice. And I think there was another one, Robin and Batman one. Cool. And Robin's one. I have a problem. So I picked those up, just figuring I'll read those. I may not continue them every week, but... at least see what's happening.
Venom's Al Ewing, right? Didn't Venom and Hulk just switch writers? I'm pretty sure Donny Cates went to Hulk when he was on Venom, and Al Ewing, who just did this awesome run on Hulk, went over to Venom. I could be misspeaking.
I couldn't tell you.
I could be misspeaking. Tori, have you read anything since the last time we talked to you a few minutes ago?
I do want to give a shout out to Children of Time. It's a
I've heard of this.
It's a very, very good sci-fi, like hard sci-fi book about repopulating another planet with attempting to repopulate with super intelligent monkeys, but they do it with super intelligent spiders on accident. It's really cool.
Oh, I feel like I remember you telling me about that actually.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Whoops, we use spiders instead of monkeys.
I will never go there. See, I wanted to go there until you said spiders.
I'm intrigued. It's a graphic. It's just a book.
Just a book. And there's several.
So no pictures?
No pictures.
I hate books without pictures.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Then whenever I give you a copy of my book, I'll just scribble some
drawings.
Please
animate it. Draw it.
It'll just be... like on the bottom corner, if you flip, it'll be a stick figure going like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I need. It'll get me through.
Then it's pictures and you have to like it.
Yeah. So before we get started on the Batman last two issues of the Dark Knight Returns saga, we have something cool to talk about that we're working on right now. We're just giving you a little sneak peek. Just some filler, but also just to kind of whet your whistle a little bit and tell you what's coming.
To preface it, let me ask, do you like when things rhyme?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's all.
Alex and Drew are going to rank the MCU.
Bum, bum, bum. I don't know what that wasn't dramatic or like terror filled.
It was.
It
didn't.
It should have been like.
Make a noise over there.
I picked a one that didn't have a. Oh, wrong row. I screwed something up.
Uh-oh. Now we don't have noise at all. Well, while he's troubleshooting, I'm going to tell you about Alex and Drew Rank the MCU. So it's going to be a new segment upcoming on our podcast. It's not a new podcast. It's a new segment on the podcast. There we go. Now give me some awesome sound. Alex and Drew Rank the MCU. Coming this fall. Yeah, that's what I needed. It's exactly what it sounds like. We're going to rank the MCU. We're going to start watching in release order, not chronological order.
We talked about it for a bit. Maybe whenever the MCU finishes, like for real, we'll go back and watch it all chronologically.
Yeah, when we're old men. So Drew and I spent like 2 hours yesterday on a FaceTime, and I actually talked to Tori on my lunch break of that FaceTime, just talking about how can we at least have some sort of rubric. It may not be perfect, and it for sure is not. It's impossible, I think, to be completely objective, especially since we've seen all the films that have come out so far. But we're going to rank every MCU film and then every Disney Plus show as well as its own collective thing. So not like each Loki episode, but Loki as a collective.
And if
they're all kind of like long movies anyway.
If something happens and we do find out for sure that the Netflix shows are canon,
yeah,
then we will consider that. That just takes a long time. I literally just got done rewatching those. That would take months.
But it's a lot. There's a chance of that happening, though. Mm-hmm. We've heard whisperings. If you watched episode 3 of Hawkeye, you might even really be thinking there's a chance of that happening for reasons. But we came up with a rubric. We're putting the finishing touches on that. We're going to be looking at things like story, continuity, the cinematography, the sound design, the CGI, the everything. Like, it's just full depth. What do we think about this film? We even have a category for just a gut reaction. Like, just watched it, rank it, go.
And we're going to, before we actually sit down to watch Iron Man the first time, we're going to go through and make our memory gut reaction ranking. Like, just like we're going to look at them and be like, I feel like I liked this one more than this one. And I just thought that it would be fun to compare that once we've actually watched them with a rubric. Like, was my gut right?
Yeah.
How wrong was my gut?
Yeah.
You know.
So we will rank them all just based on memory. Then we'll go through, we'll watch Iron Man. Then suddenly that'll be the film to beat. We'll watch Incredible Hulk. We'll put it below Iron Man because that's not happening. And we'll rinse, wash, and repeat as we go through all the way. And I'm excited for this. It's going to take us a while.
Yeah.
What's really cool is that we're going to make the rubric available for you.
If you join our Discord.
Join our Discord. You can jump in, watch these movies with us. We're considering also not like live streaming us watching it, but we'll do like a legitimate countdown on Discord. 3, 2, 1. You can push play when we push play. And you can watch it, put in your thoughts, and fill this out as we go. Yeah. And then
little interactive thing.
We're going to collect everybody's scores as they do this. So if you're listening to this and it's been 3 years since this episode came out, you can still do this right now. You can start watching these. The form will be somewhere. I'm sure if it's been a long time and you can't find it, just message one of us and we'll send it your way. Mm-hmm. And you can input your stuff and that will be a living two-man fan ranking of these MCU films.
Because
you can compare them to ours. And
we'll have like... mine will be up there. Mm-hmm. Alex's will be up there. We'll have a group. Torrance is going to watch some of them with us too.
Yep.
So like our individual ones will be up there, but I think it'd be awesome just to like the two-man community. Mm-hmm. Just like we as a group feel like Guardians of the Galaxy number 2 is the greatest movie, you know, something like that. You know, it's just like we'll have our ranking and figure out how to make that change.
Yeah.
And we do, like he said, it's a living list. Something on there is going to be like continuity. Where
that's
like
going to be a big score part.
As we watch Iron Man 1, that continuity score could change based off of like, oh, the way that it developed by this movie and this movie and this movie makes me want to bump it up or down or whatever.
Right, yeah. So it's very interesting. It's absolutely not perfect. I'm sure people could poke holes in it all day, but I don't know if there is a true perfect ranking system for so many movies that are so diverse in how they are made. So... we're doing our best, but the list the ranking rather will be consistent and on the same rubric. We're not just going to like kind of pull it out of thin air and just be like, I like this better because I like this better.
Yeah. I mean, there is a, that would be in that gut direction. And there is a factor in that.
Yeah. You know, there'll be a tiebreaker as well for anything because there may be films that score the same, but it'll get tricky. We were discussing this yesterday. How do you compare Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 versus Captain America and the Winter Soldier? You know, one of them is a spy thriller set in the MCU, and the other one is a comedy action buddy cop film set in space in the MCU. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very different, but they're still in the MCU, and we said from the beginning, we have to rank them. There's no ties. There's got to be a tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. This is our ranking of them. So super excited. We want you involved in this. We're just excited to watch some MCU films. We're not going to be like, all right, we got 10 films to watch today. Everybody sit down, put on your huggies, and we're going in. We're going to, I don't know, maybe one or two a week.
Yeah.
And we'll just knock it out as we can, and we'll make sure you'll have plenty of notice
and we'll
actually make it happen.
I don't know if we've actually decided if these will end up being like separate issues, like if we want to talk about it or if it'll just be a segment within the show. It might it might vary based on what we're covering that week.
Right.
Like if we're like, we only had time to watch one film over the last 2 weeks. So we're just going to talk about Ant-Man really quick.
Yeah.
As part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you might get a midweek drop. Like, hey, It's Thursday. We're going to double drop this week with because we watched three movies.
You know, I'd be curious also. We just talked about how we're going to do our ranking just based on our own memories. If you're in our Discord, do the same thing. I want to know before you've watched them all, if you're just going off the top of your head, you can get a list. Mm-hmm. Rank them. I want to see how they compare to mine. You can put in some notes of why at the end, but I definitely wouldn't write a dissertation on here is why Ant-Man 2 is the greatest MCU film. But put your list up there. We want to see it. Anything else for Alex and Drew rank the MCU?
No.
You know how glad I am your name rhymes?
With everything.
With everything.
Yeah.
It rhymes with you.
Drew doesn't rhyme with everything.
You're right. But it rhymes with a lot of things.
Yeah.
We decided we can use this, Alex and Drew, do anything because we can just put the word two, T-O-O, at the end of it. So Alex and Drew have a cooking show too. it'll work. Like it's just one of those things that because of your name, we're never, ever going to run out of content.
Yay.
Alex and Drew have a cooking show too, where they only prepare dishes from the MCU. Could be a thing.
Shawarma.
Yeah, shawarma, whatever Asgardian dishes.
I feel like they were cooking something in the Hawkeye home scenes.
Yeah, the meal that Whiplash has with Hammer, Justin Hammer, in the plane hangar while they're flying some ice cream from France.
Yeah.
Subscribe to our Patreon.
We can create a whole Alex and Drew rhyme things with Drew.
Yeah.
Tier of.
Yeah, that's just
creation.
Our spin-off podcast. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Patreon, please subscribe. Help
Patreon.com/ Two-Man Comic Book Club.
Yeah, and then where can they find us on social media?
Two-Man Comic Book Club with the number 2 on Twitter. Just Google Two-Man Comic Book Club elsewhere. Join our Discord. Link is in the show notes. Also, give us a phone call.
Give leave
us
a voicemail. 666-2-MAN-FAN-8.
If you're listening to this now, on the week of release, you still have time to enter our two-man 2021 Christmas giveaway.
Yes.
The window for the Secret Santa has closed because we had to give people time to do that. But yeah, find a video, a recent video, and comment with the hashtag two-man Christmas 2021. Subscribe. Shoot us an email, twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com. Whatever. Find a way to reach out to us with something about Two Man Christmas 2021. You'll get entered. I think we're going to draw for that in time for the episode that drops on the 20th of December 2021.
Right. So you'll know the week of Christmas
if
you want or not. Cool. Any other thoughts before we jump into Batman Hunt the Dark Knight? Book 3.
Yeah, I don't know.
No thoughts. You don't even know if he has thoughts.
Yeah.
All right, I'm jumping in. Should we take a break or should we just go for it?
I think we can just go for it. Cool. Take a break after 3.
I feel like I'm on the edge of a gnarly burp, so we'll see what happens. Batman makes me gassy. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you want a recap of what happened in issues 1 and 2, go back to episode 91 and listen to it. We're jumping in now. Same creative team, Frank Miller, Klaus Johnson, and Lynn Varley. Frank Miller did the story and the pencils. Klaus Johnson did the inks, and I believe Lynn Varley did the colors. Drew mentioned a tidbit that they might have gone back and revamped the color.
That was on a Killing Joke.
Ah, you're right. I am a fool. Different story. Cool. So we're going to go through. Let me see. I've got some notes here. Did I write anything down for 3? Yes, I did. Let's see. Mission Robinson always goes best. Okay. I'll refer to these when I need them. So, again, I'm just kind of hitting the high points of this. As we go through this story, we're assuming that you at least made an attempt to read this, or, you know, we can't. Mm-hmm. These are thick boy comics. There's just too much for us to cover verbatim. So, we start off and we kind of get these series of missions that Batman and Robin are going on right now. There's one where Batman's undercover as kind of an old homeless woman. And there's several instances where Robin kind of gets them in the weeds a little bit and does something she's not supposed to, and he kind of keeps threatening her, like, I'm going to fire you if you don't follow my commands exactly.
There's this one scene.
Yeah.
I like how Swamp Thing, there's this newsstand that blows up, and Swamp Thing was apparently being sold here. So, but we've seen that before. Like, sometimes superheroes that exist in these worlds have comic books that are sold in the world. But I just like that that was Swamp Thing.
Yeah. So, in one of those missions, Superman intervened very swiftly and let it be known to Bruce that he needed to talk to him, and Bruce said, not now.
I loved,
we'll talk later.
I loved the dialogue or what's going on in Batman's head when he does that. Like, the first time you see it, you just see, no, no, not him, not now.
Where is it?
And then...
No.
And then finally, he's able to tell him, look, I'm in the middle of something. Let's talk tomorrow, you know.
I know I can find this. Hold on. Where is it? We got to let the people know. It's much harder to do this. Oh, yeah. Excuse the swastikas on that person's buttocks. Oh, yeah. right here, Superman is like breaking through this wall and intervening. It doesn't look like it at all, but that person is Batman in disguise taking out these... Did it say who they were? It was like, oh, weren't they just like remnants of the mutants?
Some of the mutants like factioned off into other groups.
And right.
So there were some neo-Nazis.
Yeah, so they're like still cleaning up from the mutant group that was taking over, if you recall, at the end of issue 2. Batman finally got the one up on their leader in surgical fashion, if you will. And here you see this blue beam ripping through this building. That's Superman moving faster than a speeding bullet.
Yeah.
So... we get more things leading to the psychiatrist who released Harvey Dent speaking to the mental capacity or state of the Joker and of his ability to actually be introduced into society again, which foreshadows exactly where this issue is going. So I love this iconic panel right here. We have Bats and Robin gliding through the air after he just finished scolding her for some stuff. Mm-hmm.
I like that she has a a slingshot.
Yeah. Very boy wonderish. Mm-hmm. Cool. So moving on, going into this, what's the significant stuff that happened? Oh yeah, there's another explosion where this moment of, again, Robin went in mm-hmm. and disobeyed orders and got a lot of people hurt.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Do you know what the deal is with these dolls? Did they exist before this? Is this something that like Joker just utilized always? They have these weird dolls that sometimes fly and talk, but they're like bombs.
Yeah. You know, I'm not sure, but it does allude to the fact after this. So this, she goes into this building, Robin does, messes with this doll that starts talking to her, and it explodes and it mm-hmm. kills a lot of people in this building. And Bruce saves her at the last second. And his inner monologue basically says, he's speaking to the dead people. He says, I'll count the dead one by one. I'll add them to the list, Joker. All the lists of the people I've murdered by letting you live. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if these are a longstanding Joker thing. I'm not familiar enough with the character to know.
Me either.
Through this entire issue is kind of a weaving of the early beginnings and the transition. Well, I guess not beginnings. It's happened. Jim Gordon is out as commissioner of Gotham. Mm-hmm. And he starts with a Y. How do you say?
Yendel.
I think Yendel is the name of the new commissioner. And she is cracking down hard on Batman. She immediately, upon taking the mantle of commissioner, puts out a warrant for his arrest for all these crimes of basically being a vigilante. And those will continue to stack up as we continue to read. So as we saw Batman referring to Joker, it kind of pans over to him and we get more news posts talking about his well-being. And then we actually get to the scene of Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne meeting up somewhere in a somewhat peaceful looking place, at least in contrast to Gotham, deciding that they're going to talk for a second. Do you want to walk us through that little conversation they have?
I feel like we mentioned it a bit in the last one, but basically Superman's come to pull him aside and be like, look, at some point I'm going to have to take you out.
Right.
You know, like if things keep going the way they are and it's going to be me versus you. So, you know, just know that people are watching you.
Right. And he's that's like, at some point, somebody with authority.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, and then Bruce interjects and he says, when that happens, Clark, may the best man win. Yeah. It is important to note, I think, just how old Bruce Wayne looks compared to Superman.
Yeah.
Because Kryptonians don't quite age.
I did hear...
the same here, if you could have a good look at those side by side.
I heard something about this where, I don't know, Frank Miller felt like to get this story to come across, he kind of had to turn Superman into a government stooge. And
they deliberate on that a little bit later. And divulge more information.
I don't know. I've heard that like some people were like really angry about that, and I am like, Superman's my guy, you know. And I watched it, or as I read it, I was like, I can kind of see how he would end up in this role. It didn't bother me at all. I didn't necessarily think that was really how Superman would pan out. But then again, this is a different world where the vigilante approach has not.
So he
probably felt like he was doing the right thing.
Right. I think that's what they allude to later. Mm-hmm. They're like, I think he even says like, everybody went away and I got a deal to stay in the shadows and at least I still get to save people, I think is maybe a direct quote. So
that'll be more important in the next
choosing
issue.
The lesser of two demons. So we see Bruce at home after that interaction with Clark, and basically Clark is kind of up in the air. There's an overarching theme of the Russians.
Sorry, something happened.
We are having technical difficulties. Let's see if we can fix it. All right, we're back. We had some technical difficulties. You probably saw us or heard us cut off rambling about Superman. We're not going to go back over that, because we're going to hit it again in the next part of this episode. So, overarching theme throughout this issue is that the news things from issues 1 and 2 are still going on, and we're just getting like constant updates of the state of the world. And of more concern, kind of a nuclear fallout between the Russians and the rest of the world. Like, we seem to be getting closer to them actually pulling the trigger on some nukes. The political powers that be in this issue don't want to strike first, and we get Superman flying up in the clouds, kind of having some inner monologue, thinking about how things used to be and how the rest of us learned to cope while he's taking down these Russian fighter jets. And I'll just read some of this because I think it might be important. So you can see some of this panels. We're up above the clouds here. It says, the rest of us learned to cope. The rest of us recognize the danger of the endless envy of those not blessed. Diana went back to her people. Hal went to the stars, and I have walked the razor's edge for so long. But you, Bruce, you, with your wild obsession, and to see him rip through this jet on fire, it's pretty crazy. And we just kind of move on, like he was talking, but it's nice to get a little insight of like what happened. Like, it looks like Diana went back to Themyscira, Hal Jordan went back to be with the rest of the Lantern Corps up in space somewhere, and Superman's off doing this thing. We kind of implied that he works for the government now because he was talking with the president. But Batman's still out here kind of doing the vigilante thing, and that's in a way different light in Superman's mind, at least in this universe. So we get this scene here of the Joker getting in makeup because he's about to be released, and for some reason, they thought it'd be a great idea for the very first thing for him to do is go on this talk show.
Yeah.
As you do when you're released after killing a lot of people and wreaking havoc in the world, you get TV time because this is America. So he's going on there. He's putting on his makeup, and the current commissioner is like
Yendel.
Yendel. I keep wanting to say Yedlin, like DeAndre Yedlin, the defensive player for the U.S. men's soccer team. Yendel rhymes with Kindle. Anyway, there's a lot of people that don't think this is going to go well, so they're preparing for the worst, and she's got like a strike team ready to jump in there as soon as things get out of hand. Long story short, it goes bad.
Yeah.
The Joker ends up killing like everybody in there and even tells them he's going to do it right before he does it. Doesn't he put like a smoke, a laughing serum that's like toxic and deadly, and he plugs his own nose? It gets out of hand really bad, and Joker's off immediately doing Joker things again. And Batman wasn't able to stop him, but when he went to try, Yendel was there, and there's also a warrant out for Batman as well. So they switched their target. Now they've got this SWAT team going after him. And he's struggling again. Like, he decides he's going to try to take on all these young, in shape, trained, you know, militia, and he just can't do it. He, again, is talking about how it's been 20 years, and he keeps just saying lucky, lucky, because these bullets are missing him. Like, he's just, you know, he's in a space where he's not thriving anymore. Moving on. Oops, didn't mean to zoom in there. We get some more, like, shots of the Joker just kind of, like, building up this, and they take him to this, or the Joker ends up in this place. Is it like a, it's a roller coaster, an amusement park? It's not completely unlike the one in The Killing Joke, actually, if you remember that.
It's just like a boardwalk.
Yeah, it's like a boardwalk. Let me see if I can find. These pages are loading way slower than they normally do. Where are you? Right here. Yeah, there we go. So he's handing out free cotton candy. Mm-hmm. It has more of this poison stuff there. The Batman knows he's there. He's coming after him. And this time, Bruce Wayne is like, he's done. Like, he's given the Joker enough chances. If he can get a hold of him this time, he's claiming he's going to take him out. And it gets like really dark really quick. But basically, we get like this dual story of Robin trying to save these kids that are trapped on a roller coaster that's going to kill them if it finishes. And the Dark Knight in here trying to actually kill the Joker. I'm trying to find, doesn't he go into like this cave?
Yeah, they go into the Tunnel of Love, and
they're
fighting big time, and basically Batman gets him on the ropes and he's like strangling him, and he's about to like,
he's about to finish it finally.
You think he snaps his neck, like, and you're just like, oh no. And this is the scene that like really did it for me. Yeah. I was just like, this isn't your kid's Batman.
Yeah, here's the fight scene right here. So minor graphic warning, or not minor, it's
throws
pretty graphic.
A batarang into his eye.
Yeah, he throws a batarang into his eye, and then he just starts talking about how Joker just keeps stabbing him. Like, they're kind of holding each other, and Joker has his hand under him, and he's just going. Like, he's stabbing him, and doesn't he... What stops him right there at the very end? I can't remember.
He snaps his neck enough that he paralyzes him, but he doesn't kill him.
Oh, that's right, right. That's right. Okay.
This is the part.
Yeah, I'm mixing up something that happens in issue 4 with this right here. So this is the part where instead of killing him, he says paralysis really
stops him. And then the Joker, like, there's this long diatribe between him. And basically, I guess the Joker, like, in his mind, he wants Batman to suffer. And he knows, he was like, you can't do it. You can't kill me. And somehow the Joker snaps his own neck to kill himself so that everybody thinks that Batman did it. Right. Batman finally broke his code, and he finally killed. And nobody's going to believe him, because there were some people that were in there that saw Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, they saw him do the paralysis part.
Right.
And they walked away screaming that Batman is a murderer. And now there's quote unquote proof.
Yeah, there's a dead Joker.
Even though he didn't actually do it.
Yeah, this was an intense scene. I encourage you to go through and read all this. Batman got really close to death here. Like, it hurt me, like, watching the scene go by of him getting stabbed and just his inner monologue talking about, like, he's constantly just trying to not white or black out and not just go under or go into shock from his body dying. And the issue ends that way in this, like, very... Do you have the iPad up on screen right now? This scene, this is it, of Bruce clutching his bloody side and a dead laughing Joker who seemingly got the last laugh here, and then it ends the issue. I'd like to also mention, like, those interesting parallels of there's always this conversation of the Joker and the Batman need each other. Like, you can't have one without the other, and then the fact that they go into Lover's Tunnel, just the... I don't mean that in like any interpretation of a sexual relationship, but just a relationship in general of them talking about that sort of thing. So very interesting dynamics. I'm sure there have been more brilliant people than I discuss such things. Cool. So we don't need to take a break, do we? Do you want to jump into 4?
Yeah, 4? We can just keep going if you want.
Cool. Why don't you take us through on to 4?
So There's a lot that happens in 4.
Oh, and yeah.
I don't know exactly how in-depth I'm going to go because it's big. I'm just going to try to hit the big points and then let us talk about it. We just opened, like, literally right where we stopped in 3, where he's on the run from the Tunnel of Love. And basically people come in, and he has to get into an altercation with the cops to get out. So
just note one last thing he did. He spit on the dead body of the Joker before he left, which I found pretty intense. Yeah.
But like people's, I can't remember who sees it, but like enough people see that he's having to fight and they're like, oh, he killed the Joker. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, yeah, there's no way out of this. And in order to get out, he has to fight. So once again, of course, he's the bad guy. It's the vindication that the anti-vigilante people want, that they need, but eventually they're able to get away. Right. And in the meantime, the Sons of Batman have continued their reign of not terror. Like, they think that they're helping people, but they're like, it's like, oh, I see this purse napper, so I'm going to kill him instead of, you know, turning him over. So it's just like people are calling, you know, Batman guilty by his association, even though he didn't make them do that.
Right.
But still.
Everything's just falling apart.
Yeah. And then we kind of have this side angle where we're seeing more with Superman, and he is just in the air. He's like chasing down this giant missile.
Yeah.
And you see him struggling, and he keeps doing everything he can to deflect it. And meanwhile, like, the news is talking about it. And it's the weirdest thing ever. Like, there's somebody who's talking who knows what they're doing, knows what they're talking about. And like the fluff person keeps going like, oh, that's not important.
Right.
We don't need to worry about that. Let's talk about fashion.
Yeah, just to give you the details, this missile that he's stopping, they made it clear, like, Russia finally did it.
Yes,
they launched the nuke that was going to level everybody.
Cordo Maltese.
Yeah. And even if it didn't immediately hit you, it was going to be bad just by the existence of it for anything within any sort of relative distance. Yeah.
So Superman is able to deflect it, thinking that, you know, it's out of range. But I might jump ahead a few, but basically it goes, there's a mushroom cloud, but there's something else. It's not just any weapon. It's like the mother weapon, where something that comes along with it is an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse. And apparently it's close enough to these places that all over the world, I think, at least the United States, go back to the Stone Age for a little while. Like, power is gone. There's this plane that falls out of the sky in the middle of Gotham.
I honestly, weirdly enough, got like 9/11 vibes almost. Not what caused it, but just some of the scenery, the imagery here. But also, I want to note, if you pull up the iPad, Tori, the Superman like falling out of the sky after this nuke, before this scene, we saw Bruce Wayne being worked on, and we saw his heart monitor, and it was kept going. So you see these panels right here, and then you scroll down, and you get this panel flatlining. Mm-hmm. So it serves as two things: to imply that Superman's dead, and then it switches over to Bruce, and you think, oh no, Bruce died, but it's just an implication of the bomb, the EMP.
Yeah.
The power went out, so they can't detect it anymore. Yeah. So very creative writing and panel work there.
So basically, Gotham is just pandemonium. People have broken out, you know, like a riot's broken out because there's a plane falling from the sky. Things are catching on fire.
Yeah, here's that plane panel right here.
Yeah. And it's just basically the worst of the worst starts to happen. And, you know, cops and everything, they're trying to get it under control. Mm-hmm. There's this whole side quest kind of where Gordon is walking around like trying to find his wife and like getting in these altercations with former mutants, you know, whatever they are, whatever they're called now.
They play on this a little bit in the last Christopher Nolan Dark Knight film, like with Bane. It's not exact verbatim, but this is for sure like something they took inspiration from. Gotham shut down. It's very militant.
I'll have to rewatch that.
It's everybody's trapped in here, and Gordon's around kind of doing his thing with the underground people while everybody's kind of hoping that Batman returns.
So Batman eventually does. There's this interesting scene where, you know, none of the cars are working, nothing. And he asks Robin, he's like, do you know how to ride a horse?
Yeah.
And so they go to the stables, and we see these awesome panels of
Look at this. This
of Batman awesome. Just riding through Gotham. And he goes to the where all of the mutants are being held. And he has this, let me see if I can find it. Do you have the things where they're like his actual, the speech he gives them?
Let's see.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
So he's just like talking to all of them. He's trying to get them control. He's like, he takes a gun and he breaks it in half. And he's like, this is the weapon of the enemy. We do not use it. Our weapons are quiet and precise, and in time I will teach them to you. But for tonight, rely on your fists and your brains. Tonight, we are the law. I am the law. Let's ride. And basically, Robin this whole time is kind of talking about like his voice, just his voice. It's amazing. It's everybody follows. So Batman takes these people and he turns them into his militia and basically goes and regains control of Gotham.
Yeah.
And, you know, so everything, and it's funny, like they'll jump forward, like here in a minute, we're going to have a scene that jumps forward. I'm just going to spoil it now because they're talking about New York is in ruin. You know, it's chaos, it's Chicago, but Gotham has reached a tentative peace because of the Batman and his everything. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was a nice little kind of moment of vindication that we get because everybody who's been like anti-Batman, Batman is the reason all of this. And meanwhile, he's the only reason the city is
not still falling into complete chaos. Yeah. We do get a scene where Superman is found to be still alive because of course he is. And there's this kind of scene where he basically implies like he's talking to the earth essentially. And he's like, listen,
let me say before you get to that part, when the bomb went off.
Yeah.
If you don't know about Superman, he is charged from the power of our yellow sun, like the solar radiation. And there's like, it's nuclear winter now.
Right.
Like there's a dust cloud everywhere. And he got taken out really bad by this explosion to begin with, gets knocked out of the sky. So he's hurting and he's not able to get recharged.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now he's kind of having a conversation.
Yeah. He basically just starts getting energy from the earth that the earth had received from the sun.
I've tried to save you multiple times. Come on, help me out here.
Mm-hmm.
And you do see like, do you want to pull up one of those of him being struck by lightning?
Yeah,
right. Panels just so that you can see. Like, man, he looks rough. I've never seen Superman
very
look so
zombie-esque.
Rough. Yeah, it's like bizarro. But then he starts to.
I like his hips. He's got some funny hips.
Yeah, but you know the earth provides, and we kind of go back and we're seeing more stuff with.
Yep.
Basically, the long night passes.
Yep,
and Gotham has reached some sort of tentative peace, hesitant peace. And we go back to the side story of Superman versus Batman. And they're having a conversation, and not a conversation, but for some reason, I'm not exactly sure how Superman did it, but they know that they have to go up against each other for some reason. I still don't buy it, but you know, it sells comics.
Yeah.
Superman like lights up the sky with his heat vision and just asks where they're going to finally meet their, have their battle. And Batman responds, Crime Alley, where it all started.
Yeah. I think I'm reading this here. The president wanted to bring in Batman because he was like essentially ruling, I guess. It was kind of like he took it as like a civil war almost.
Okay, so he's a invading.
And yeah, it was like terroristic, threatening almost. So basically, just like Bruce told him before, he was not going to just come in. Like, you're going to have to get him. When this happens, may the best man win, is what he said, right? Yeah. So,
but yeah, so they finally do meet up. And did I pass the conversation? When do we see the thing with Green Arrow?
That is right after he talks to the president. He actually, they've been mentioning Oliver like several times throughout.
Oliver Queen, Green Arrow. Basically, he comes to him and he's like, you see that things went bad for Green Arrow also, and Batman needs his help.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what ends up happening is they meet at Crime Alley. If you've ever watched Batman versus Superman or Superman versus Batman, I can never remember which order it is, the movie.
It's BVS.
It's Batman has the armor on, just like Batfleck did. So
Batman is directly inspired by this.
Yeah, and they're fighting, and there's a few different times that like They bombard Superman with these weapons, like missiles and stuff, just to kind of distract him. And the whole time that they're talking, I think he makes Bruce makes a comment like, Superman's not coming back quite as quickly as he used to. He's getting old too.
He says that's the reason they sent the missiles, to see it's a powers test.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of have him on the ropes, and they're about to, you know, Superman could take him out. And then all of a sudden you see Oliver Queen hanging from his legs, shooting this synthetic kryptonite arrow at Superman that he catches, and then it explodes and kind of levels them a bit. And then the fight, they're just hand-to-hand combat. But while they're fighting, Superman is like listening, and he's like, Bruce, your heart. Like, he hears your heart is slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep fighting, and essentially it all comes down to it. And it's similar to the death of Superman, where Superman and Batman both punch each other, and Superman gets kind of knocked out. He has his hand around his throat, and then you see Batman grimace as his EKG just flatlines.
Yeah. And Batman basically has a heart attack right before he kills Superman.
And Superman's like sitting there like, oh, what? You know, he's Hulk cradling him. And this was almost the most heartbreaking scene of anything, whenever it cuts to Alfred standing surrounded by the rubble because they'd blown up Wayne Manor.
Yeah.
And then he's like, how utterly proper. We see that like he has a stroke or something and falls over, and Alfred dies too. And I'm just like, no.
Yeah. So in the same page, we see Bruce and Alfred die in the Wayne Manor. So like essentially the entire Wayne history and family is just gone.
And so we jump forward a little bit to the funeral. You know, people are talking about, oh, it's come out that Batman all along was 55-year-old Bruce Wayne, and he's dead. And Superman comes to the funeral.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Selina Kyle, Catwoman, is like angry about it. Like, how could you have been here? I know who killed him.
Right.
But how could Superman not be there?
Sure.
You know, honestly. But it's a good thing he was. Because as they're talking and he's like walking away, Superman's supervision or super hearing, all of a sudden he hears bum bum, bum bum, coming from the casket, and he winks because all along it was actually, he knew that it would come down to one of them dying, and it had to be him so that he could go off the grid. And he took some sort of medicine that basically gave him until a certain point, and he was going to die for X amount of days.
We should be clear. We didn't say that Carrie Kelly was there kind of in disguise almost as the person that he actually winked at. She was like described as his distant cousin that came to claim the body.
Yeah.
And Clark does hear that and he looks back and then he kind of recognizes Carrie and he just winks at her and he leaves. He doesn't actually do anything about it.
He does. Yeah. So we get some narration blocks of Batman. He's like, my timing wasn't quite precise enough, Clark heard. That was the first thing Robin told me when she dug me up. And basically, we turn the page and Superman or Batman is down in the cave. Oh, I skipped something. News is talking about how the Wayne fortune is gone.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where it went. Mm-hmm. Wayne Manor is gone because they wouldn't know necessarily that the Batcave is down there.
Right.
So, but anyway, Bruce Wayne is down there. He's surrounded by former mutants, sons of Batman, and he's saying that he says, years to train and study and plan here in the endless cave, far past the burnt remains of the crime fighter whose time has passed. It begins here, an army to bring sense to a world plagued by worse than thieves and murderers. This will be a good life, good enough.
End scene.
As opposed to, this will be a good way to die. You
know? Yeah.
So Bruce didn't die, and he's going to be operating in secret. And apparently there's a story that goes on. I'm really curious to read it to see if it picks up literally right here, or is it a forward jump? I don't know. So
yeah, I'm not sure. What'd you think about the whole thing?
It's on my list now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like as soon as I read it, I didn't know what it was going to be about, but like, I never felt like I was reading a comic book.
Mm-hmm. It feels very cinematic.
Yeah, like, and I think I liked the fact that it didn't. Yeah, it fell into the typical like you got two stories and then a cliffhanger type thing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel that for some reason because there were 50 pages each. like I really got into it. So I really liked it. Sometimes, I mean, I enjoyed the artistic style. Sometimes the art was kind of hard to look at mm-hmm. because it was supposed to be, but man, it was good. I'm glad we read it.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I think you could read several times and find something new every time because it's just so dense with information and art. I mean, it's a lot. And honestly, like, it's funny how much of your own just like experience you can kind of project onto it and draw parallels to even things from today. Like it's not political in that it actually is necessarily speaking to a left or right direction, mm-hmm. but it is absolutely like politics are a device used to kind of push forward some of the themes as far as just like vigilantes and whatnot. So, you know, it's just interesting. There's lots of things you can do with the story and just infer and put your own twist on from your own experiences, which I think is a tell sign of a good story.
But seriously, it's worth reading. I know we told you the story, but there's so much subtlety in mm-hmm. like the art and like the psychology of the faces that like you missed out on half of it. Like scenes with the subtlety of Joker's faces,
yeah.
you know, and the awe on Carrie's face, mm-hmm. you know, at different times. It's really good. So worth checking out, worth picking up if you don't mind something that's pretty gritty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one. Cool. Anything else before we take a quick break and then jump into some trivia?
Trivia.
Cool. We'll be right back.
All right. And we're back with our lightning round trivia where the questions are faster than I wondered how on earth Oliver Queen was going to shoot that arrow whenever he apparently only had one arm.
Yeah.
The answer was he used his teeth.
I want to read that story.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? I don't know. Cool. So Drew is up 1-0. Okay. So I will go first.
Okay.
So you have a chance. This is possible for you to guess. What Earth does the Dark Knight Returns universe take place on? There is a number.
Yeah. I feel like I should know this because mm-hmm. on the Arrowverse Crisis on Infinite Earths, they visit a Batman a lot like this.
Ooh.
It played by the dude who voiced him.
Nice.
In all of those animated shows. But I can't remember what it was. I'm just going to make a gut reaction. I'm wondering if it's 86 because of the year.
Incorrect.
Okay.
It is 31.
I wonder if there's a significance.
I don't know. I originally was going to do some trivia on Carrie Kelly, and then it noted that she was from Earth 31.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure if she had popped up anywhere else, if she mm-hmm. crossed into other Earths.
There is a new, like, I bought a copy of Robins, mm-hmm. number one, because it's supposed, I haven't read it yet, it's supposed to be like the first female Robin. I'm wondering if it's her or something like that. I can't remember what the deal was.
Because I've wondered forever, like, what's up with Carrie Kelly? You never hear about her anymore. We are, once again, underwater in our headphones. I don't know what's up with that.
It's okay. It's just here.
Cool.
All right. So I've got potential for a couple points here.
Yes.
Neither of us asked it last time, so mm-hmm. do you have any... Can you give me the first appearance
of...
/ year of Batman?
Oh, wow. 1939 in Detective Comics 1.
I guess I should have figured out how to give you those points because 39 is correct.
Wow. That was a true guess.
So, but Detective Comics number 27.
Ah, okay.
So how about we say we're tied?
I'll allow it.
And we defer
and
to
here's
our,
the tiebreaker.
Our man Torrance.
Okay. Let's see. This is another round of Name That Supervillain. this criminal mastermind uses a stolen concentrated lightning machine to generate dense fog every night so his gang can rob banks unseen.
Oh,
who
God.
Who is it?
Is this some really obscure villain that I have no idea?
No, but I will say this is one of the first things this villain has done.
I feel like I have a thought, and I can't remember if it's right. My guess is the Weathermaster.
Okay.
Okay, I guess that's not it.
I don't know. Well, I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm waiting for Alex to.
I don't have a calendar man.
If I gave you a year, would that help you?
More than not.
1940 is when this happened. Okay.
Mr. Freeze.
True.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
This is Dr. Hugo Strange.
Interesting.
Huh. Because they had a whole string of them. Like, I've seen somebody that has a weather controlling rod on Flash. So I was thinking
Hugo Strange. I've seen him in some. Maybe I've seen him in like an animated series or something maybe. Like that. I've definitely heard of that villain, but for sure one of the more obscure Batman villains.
Yeah. So relatively. I guess we're tied.
We'll come back to this if the Dark Knight ever returns again.
Well, I mean, he did.
Well,
twice.
Well, maybe.
And then a prequel.
Maybe.
But we have to read them and see if they're any good.
Yeah, we'll see. Cool. Any closing thoughts, my friends?
Not too late, if you're listening to this on release week, to join or to...
Christmas giveaway.
Yes.
Christmas
Hashtag
giveaway.
#2Man Christmas 2021.
And that's it on our end. I think we're going to wrap this up. Follow us on all the social media things.
Join the Discord if you want to get in on an Alex and Drew rate or rank the MCU.
Yep, do that. It's going to be super cool. Follow us on our socials. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We have a review to read. Should we? Nobody's listening. We got to do that at the beginning of an episode.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll hit you next time, Shane.
Okay.
Until next time, we'll see y'all later. Bye.
But I was trying to think of something like same bat time, same bat channel.
Oh, I keep forgetting to wait for you to do the music.
Me too. And I forget that I have a job.
We're not here today. Love you all. Bye. Two-Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
All right, this is episode 92, Dark Knight, Part 2 and 3, Chapter 1.
It's actually Dark Knight, Part 3 and 4.
What did I say?
2 and 3. All right, we
cancel
know.
The podcast.